It's Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon, and time to talk some basketball playoff style as the Celtics get ready for game two of their opening round playoff series against the Heat tomorrow night. John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast joins us, taking care of business in game one. I like the way that one went, John.
Yeah. I mean, aside from like 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, which may not have been as bad as it seems, looking at it at second glance, but still not great, and still one of those things that the guys at the practice, we're talking about, like, okay, we do have to clean that up. But you should never apologize for winning a playoff game by 20 points. So this came out strong. They handled the business they're supposed to handle. They never gave Miami real significant chance at life, despite that fourth quarter lull. It's just pretty much top to bottom, everything you want to see from a team where, look, I understand people might have been a little bit kind of unsure given the way the season ended and maybe some of the unfocused play after they had everything wrapped up. So to see them come out like that in game one was just nice.
Well, and as you wrote about here, one of the things that made them successful, it's the kind of things that just come from hard work and don't rely on a hot hand. The keys were clearly defense and rebounding.
Yeah, that's how you make sure that a team like Miami, shorthanded and, you know, also struggling with their offense in general. They're not a high-powered offensive team. They're more of a defensive team that pulls you out of what you're trying to do. And because Boston is so potent offensively, the number one thing that Miami can do to give themselves a chance is to maximize the map, right? They have to hit a bunch of shots. They have to get a bunch of shots, which means they have to get more offensive rebounds. They have to get out there and score quickly. And Boston's defense did a great job of making them work really hard for their shots. And the rebounding gave them only one chance at a bucket, and, you know, only five offensive rebounds allowed for the whole game. That formula, no matter how well Miami played, the math was never going to be in their favor for them to put up enough points to hang with what Boston can do offensively.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. I loved your video breakdown of what the Celtics shooting does to impact Miami's defensive effort.
Yeah, and not only the shooting, it's the bigs as well. It's the combination of those two to take away the number one weapon that Miami has. It's their zone defense, right? Miami can go and play some man, and they can mix in some other stuff. But when we watch the Heat be their most effective, they're confounding the offense with zone. And Boston has those two elements. The bigs, which, number one, Kristaps Porzingis. They played maybe one or two possessions of zone with Porzingis on the floor. He destroys it. He's deadly himself at 50, you know, a 15-footer. He can shoot over the top of anybody, and he can pass when he gets a lot of attention. So you can't run zone with Porzingis on the floor at all, because it's a suicide mission. And then when they ran it without Porzingis, they went at Horford, they went at the second unit, and it's still Peyton Pritchard hits 29-footer, right? Like, he spots up so far back that when the defense is looking over to try to get back to a normal spot to close out, Pritchard's 3 feet behind that spot. And Boston's ability to space the floor an incredible amount, and then Al Horford just setting smart picks, positioning, understanding what's going to happen three passes later and preventing that third thing from happening to give Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard open shots. If they do that the whole series, then Miami just can't play zone. And when you take zone out of the Miami toolbox, they've got nothing left. They are toast.
Well, and you talked about them as well. The Celtics bench came through when they needed them. And you mentioned Pritchard and Hauser. And when they were in there, they were lights out and got the job done.
Yeah, and when you can do that in the playoffs, so key. Because we didn't see any real departure from regular season minutes, aside from Jason Tatum playing 41, which I think a few of those might have been to chase his triple-double and maybe to kind of keep Miami from really making a game of it. I think the bench coming in and being as good as they were helps keep minutes down, helps Mazzulla just keep his normal rotations for one more game. And each game they allow him to do that, it helps him on the back end in the NBA Finals, presumably if they get there, because you're not playing Tatum and Brown and those guys 45 minutes, 44 minutes, 43 minutes. You're allowing them to get their rest. So they're huge. Being able to play somewhere north of 20 minutes for each of those guys was a big deal for Boston.
All right, so what do you think we'll see the Heat try in game two?
You know, option. Like, they can try to junk up the defense, and they can try to clean some things up, but they have to shoot more. They can't get into a game where they're matching Boston's shot attempts. They have to beat Boston on the shot attempts. So that's either playing faster, that's getting shots up earlier in the shot clock, that's crashing, and they're not a big offensive rebounding team, but they're going to have to be. They're just going to have to shoot three-pointers and hang. They have to match Boston. And you hate to say that from a Miami perspective, but you love to hear it from a Boston perspective. When the other team has no choice but to get on your level and to try to play your game, you've already won. And so if maybe Miami can steal a game, maybe they can steal two if they get hot. But honestly, from what I've seen, and this stretches back into the regular season, this stretches back into how they looked in the play-in games. From what I've seen from Miami, they don't have a chance unless they get some sort of outlier performance. Somebody gets hot from three, and they have to put up 90, 95 to 100 shots just to be able to try to outshoot the Celtics.
John, as you look around at some of the other series, which team is in bigger trouble right now, the 76ers or the Lakers?
Well, that's a tough call, because the Lakers are going up against Denver, and going down 2-0 the way they did last night on the buzzer beater, now you have to beat Denver 4 out of 5 times. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But the Sixers are actually physically hurting with Joel Embiid. Mm. And so, but they're not playing as tough an opponent. You know, Embiid's probably, 70, 75% of his normal self, which has been enough to keep Philly there and play two really close games. But looking at Embiid dragging himself up and down the floor, I mean, it has earned some of my respect in the sense that it's like, man, this guy's playing his butt off and playing hurt and is really trying to go for it. But it's not going great for him. And I think he's going to have to probably consider just shutting it down, because it's going to be tough for Philly to win 4 out of 5 games with him playing, with him being as hurt as he is. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Philly here, but the Lakers taking 4 out of 5 out of Denver, forget it.
I hate to see that. No, it's John Corrales.
Yeah, I know. What a shame. All the schadenfreude all over New England.
Indeed.
And the Lakers are in a hole. Boo-hoo.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. We'll check in with you next week.
All right. Talk to you next. See ya.
Thanks, John.